that they absolutely were the first church, those 12, the original church, that we would take them one at a time, and that's what we're going to do. And we notice in the order of mention and the repetition of the mention of their names in the four accounts that they start with Peter, and Peter was definitely the leader. And as we see them listed, and again, the repetition of their names showing up, we see that there's an order there. And that order begins with Peter, and Peter was the leader of the group. He was outspoken, and the Lord called him down or rebuked him more than anybody else. But there were reasons for that. But the character qualities for a leader, and that's what Peter was, that the Lord called Peter out to be the leader of this group. A little stone, he called him, or a rock. One of the things that define leader qualities, or the qualities of a true leader, is the right character. Well, Peter was definitely a character, but God shaped him into a leader. And he did it, a lot of times, rather harshly. He was kind of harsh with Simon Peter a lot of times. And we notice a lot of the accounts where he is rebuking Peter, he calls him Simon, because Simon was his natural name, and when he called him Simon, he was really like referring to the natural person. But when he called him Peter, and he also named him Cephas, he was speaking to the disciple that he was forming into the lead apostle. And he worked on Peter in a lot of ways. Peter was naturally a leader, you might say. He was naturally jumping out in front all the time. And he would jump up and answer a question, whether he knew the answer or not. And the Lord would straighten him out. And he had to do it numerous times. He learned of his own sinful tendencies and his own spiritual weaknesses. But no matter what he was by nature, God's intention was for him to be the leader of the apostles. And so through all of these problems that he had, all these character flaws that he exhibited, the Lord changed him and turned him in to the leader that he wanted him to be. Peter learned to be a leader of the apostles by experience, and a lot of them were not good. Some of them were very distressing, painful, humiliating. But then other times, his learning was encouraging to him, and it uplifted him, like when he saw the brilliance of the Lord on the Mount of the Transfiguration. But all of these things that Peter went through and learned were shaping him to be the leader that God designed and planned for him to be. Character is absolutely necessary for a leader. Character. He has to be somebody that exhibits trustworthiness, and he has to be somebody who exhibits stability. So, well, we're just talking about leaders. Well, we are all leaders in our own lives. Every one of us are. Every one of us who the Lord has saved has a responsibility to lead others to Christ. Every one of us. So it's important that we exhibit the characters of a leader. Do I mean be like Peter and give answers if you don't even know what the answer is and jump out ahead and try to be the most exalted one and I want to be first and all that? No. But Peter's new character that God is shaping him into be, that's the character that we need to have, the character that we need to display in our daily lives. And we are shaped into this character by God himself, basically the same way that Peter was. Well, how is that? By listening to what God says, trusting what he says, and then obeying what he says. As we do that in our daily lives, we are shaped into the character, the stable, trustworthy character that God wants us to be. That's what he was doing to Peter, and that's what he does with us. It's exactly what he does with us. Through his word, trusting him and believing what he says to us, and then walking in those ways, Peter became a great leader. A great leader. More is written about him in the Gospels than any of the other ones. So, as I was saying earlier, that tells us basically that he was at the top. He was the leader. And that was the Lord's plan, for him to be the leader of the group. Many of them we don't hear a lot of, but they all have their purpose. And they all were called by God. They all trusted in what he said and obeyed what he said. And in the end, the gospel was preached to the world. The gospel was preached. That is what Jesus Christ gave them to do before he left this earth. That was the great commission that he gave to the 12. It's the same commission that he gave to us because they represented us. They were the first church. Of course, Christ is the epitome of a leader. Christ is who Peter was following. Christ is who Peter was mimicking. Christ is who God was shaping him into the image of, the image of Christ. Romans 8 tells us that we are destined to be conformed, and that's just like, I keep doing this with my hands, that's just like a potter with a lump of clay. We are destined to be conformed to who? To what? To an image. We're going to become Jesus Christ? Of course not. But we're going to be shaped in his image. That's what the Lord developed Peter into. A stable character. A reliable character who was like his teacher. Like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Lord is perfect in all the things, all the attributes that make a leader. That's why we are to be more and more like him. Obviously, in spiritual leadership, the goal is to be like Jesus Christ. Like him. Not saying to study how he spoke or how he acted and then try to mimic it on an outward show. But rather, we are being conformed in the heart. So that this condition we're in and this standing that we're in with God is like the condition and the standing that Christ has with him. I know that's saying a lot because he is God himself. But the Bible teaches us that we are made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that he earned in his 33 years on this earth was applied to you. And the same with Peter. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. Of course, this is being written to the church at Corinth. Paul says in verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We are to be followers of him. Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. That is what made him who he ended up being. As he was associated with Christ, the character qualities that he developed through this relationship that he had with Jesus Christ made him a true leader. That's what made him a true leader. He had a relationship with God the Son, Jesus himself. A close relationship with him. He listened to him. He followed him everywhere he went. He stayed right with him. He believed what he said. And he trusted in what he said and did what he said. That's what made him the great character that he was. The same is true for us. Exactly the same. We must have a relationship with the Son of God. Well, how does that happen? Well, we seek after Him. We seek after Him. How do we do that? Well, we're born again. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, don't we? We do. And the Father draws us closer to Him by the Spirit. And how are we drawn to the Father? Only through His Son, Jesus Christ. A relationship with Him. Not unlike what this fisherman had. Not unlike it at all. But a lot like it. He calls us, just like He did Peter, to put down all the other things in our lives and to follow Him. That's how He called Peter, isn't it? Exactly. At first, Peter kept fishing. But then, he left everything and started staying with Christ constantly without leaving His side. We are called in the same way. We saw four phases of the calling of the apostles. We saw that they were called to conversion. We saw that in John chapter 1, verse 35. That is the first phase of the calling of the apostles, that they were converted. They believed in Him. How did they do so? With faith. Where did they get the faith? Same place you and I got it. From God Himself. He gave us the faith to believe in Him. They were converted. So are we. Then we saw the phase of their calling being ministry. And in the fifth chapter of Luke, we saw that they were called to ministry. They were called to lead other people to Jesus Christ. They were called to be leaders in their life, just as you and I are. God converted us. He saved us. He drew Him to Himself. But not just to sit there. No. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also the Greek. It is the wherein is revealed the righteousness of God. And we are saved unto good works, Paul said. Unto good works. And so we've got something to do, don't we? We do. We're on a mission. It's not just my responsibility standing before you in the pulpit of God's church to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my responsibility. It is my duty and it is my pleasure that God would use me to do that. But it's yours too. It's yours too. We are to be as a flickering light to those who are in the dark. All around us. We are to be leaders in our lives and tell others. Give a reason for how we are. Give a reason for who we are. Give a reason for the faith that is displayed in us. We're responsible to do that. We have a ministry. If we're living on this earth today and we are saved, we have a ministry. And that is to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to all creatures, and especially church members and pastors. We have that responsibility on us. When a church member is not here, he's representing the church. When you're outside somewhere else, we represent the church. We do. We are members here. We have a ministry. That is to preach the gospel. And then we saw the phase of their calling where the Lord called out the 12 specifically and made them apostles. It's Matthew 10 and also in Luke 6. Let's look at Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days, we're in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. This wasn't any day, this was a particular day that this came to pass. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And we looked at that word apostle, and we saw that it came from the word Shaliah, and that it meant they went out with the same authority that Jesus had. They had the same authority that he did to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you go out from this church in your life, you have the authority to tell others of Jesus Christ. And the responsibility. And the pleasure, the joy of it, to tell others what he's done for you. You notice the sequence of this. The Lord went up into a mountain and prayed. What do you think he was praying about? I think he was praying about these 12 that he was about to call into apostleship. He was making intercession between God the Father and those 12. He was praying for them. And he prayed for them all night. Then when it was day, he called him, the 12 to him, called the 12 to him, and named them apostles. Then the fourth phase we saw was the call to martyrdom. You remember that all but one of the 12 apostles were martyred. They were killed for the gospel's sake. And John was on the Isle of Patmos until he died. They all died for the sake of the gospel. That is relevant to our lives in that we know that death means separation, right? So as we are living for the Lord and being drawn closer to him, and I've said this several times lately, we're being drawn away from the world. But to draw away from the world is to draw closer to him. To draw closer to him is to draw away from the world. So we are dying, Paul calls it, we're dying to ourselves each day. Well, death means separation, remember? So take it in line with the definition. We are being separated more and more from this carnal nature every day as we draw closer to the Lord. We're being separated from that part of us that was born dead in trespasses and sins, from that nature. We're being separated from this world and our enemies in this world every day as we draw closer to the Lord. Yes, they died for the sake of the gospel. If we're following him, we die for the sake of the gospel a little bit every day, don't we? We do. Die to self, but live unto God. One of the character qualities of a spiritual leader that Peter developed was submission. Now, he had to learn that one the hard way, as a lot of us do. Let's look in Matthew chapter 17 at an incident here. I think I'm in the right place. So the Lord teaches Peter submission. Yes. Matthew 17:24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And this was a tax. And we could go back in the Old Testament and find where this tax was established. He saith, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free, or the sons are free, because they're family. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee." So, Peter, the question was, "Lord, should we submit and pay taxes? Because we're sons, we're family, are we not exempt?" And the Lord displays a great case of submission. Yes, you should pay your taxes, that's what he's saying. But in the middle of teaching him that he should submit to his leaders, or slaves to masters, as the book puts it in a lot of places, we are to be submissive to them, he also displays his sovereignty over all things. He teaches Peter, yes, we're going to pay our taxes. And take a hook and the pole or whatever, go down to the sea and cast it in there and catch a fish. First one you catch is going to have some money in his mouth. And it's the exact right amount of money to pay for yours and mine taxes. And so as he's teaching Peter to submit, he's showing him, "I'm God. I created you. I created the earth. I created Caesar. I created all things, even the fish." And the fish had swallowed the exact right amount of money ahead of time. He's God. He knows all things. He's not subject to time. He was laying out there waiting for Peter's hook. And he took it. And it was the exact right amount of money. Even God, even though God the Son is God himself in the second person, yet he humbled himself and submitted, didn't he? That was an example for us. He was the creator of all things, yet he paid taxes just like the rest of them. Oh, he humbled himself when he came to this earth, didn't he? Why did he come? For you and for me, because he loved us. How humble did he become? Well, in the beginning, he was born a little tiny baby. That certainly shows humility, doesn't it? Dependence, total dependence. You have to do everything for a newborn baby, everything. He showed submission, humility. And then he submitted to being crucified. When they came to get him, Judas led him up to get him in the garden that night. Remember, Judas came up and kissed him. That was the signal. This is him. He betrayed him for money. Remember the character of Peter? Well, that side of him that the Lord called Simon drew a sword and cut off Malchus's ear. You remember that? A soldier cut off his ear, and he was probably surrounded by hundreds of soldiers. They didn't play when they sent a troop out to get somebody like that. There were probably hundreds of them there, armed to the hilt. Yet Peter drew out a sword and cut off the ear of one of them. But the Lord rebuked him again. Said, "No, we're going to submit." It was an example, and he healed Malchus's ear right there. That goes to show you, just because you see a miracle with your eyes doesn't mean that you believe in the source of the miracle, does it? He was God. But to submit And that's what he did. His submission is a very important character quality that God was developing in Peter. It's also an important character quality to be developed in us. Does that mean be weak and let people run all over you? No, it does not. It means to stand up for the gospel? Yes, it does. Whatever it takes to stand up for this gospel. But to submit to our leaders as God puts them in leadership? Does that mean that we have to follow them when they go against God's word? No. It doesn't. That's what I say. We are to stand up for what God teaches. And when they go against what God teaches, then we are to go against them. But we, as Christ's example, are to submit to the authorities. We are to humble ourselves. One problem with leaders is they tend to have problems with pride. Over and over. That seems to creep into leaders. They have other people saying good things about them or praising them or whatever, and they tend to get puffed up. So this character of submission is important. Knowing that we belong to God. Knowing that we are His, bought and paid for with His terrible price. We should humble ourselves even as He did. You remember He washed the disciples' feet? Another example. He's still teaching them. He was teaching them there. Humility. Humility. Not to think higher of yourself than you ought, but to humble yourself before God. There are many qualities we'll continue to look into. Peter will be the first apostle that we will study, and well, there's a lot there. He's quite a character. And he will be the longest study on Peter, and then we'll come on right on down the list. I believe it's a good study. It's important to know where the church came from, why we're here, what our purpose is, in other words. And I think it's important that we study through the Gospels. And all through the Gospels, of course, is about the Lord and His relationship with the apostles. Because we are the church, the local New Testament church that Jesus Christ started with these men right here. And we can learn not only who we are, but who we should be. Not only how we should be, but why we should be that way. Through the relationship that Jesus Christ had with each of these men. We have a personal relationship with Him, each one of us. Each one of us. But when we come together, we are His bride. And we need to learn who we are. Who is the bride of Christ? And the plan, the counsels of God has determined for us that we are following. It's important, isn't it? It's important that we know Him more and more every day, and that we follow Him more and more every day. Praise God that we are being separated from this world. I know it. I can see it. We are being separated from this world, and we're being drawn closer to Him. Praise His name, because it's all of Him. It's all of Him.